Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. From today's gospel lesson, and Peter. Well, it's the third day since Good Friday. Good Friday is now in the rearview mirror. The events of those days, though, are fresh in our minds. The tragic events of the arrest of Jesus, the ruthless torture of Jesus, and the horrific death of Jesus hanging on a cross. And those events, those Good Friday events, created a crisis for the disciples. The disciples who had put, if you will, all of their eggs in the Easter basket, in the Jesus basket. Can't get away from it. Everything they counted on, all of their hopes and all of their dreams, all of their plans were dashed by Jesus hanging on that cross and swept away with his death. And with respect to that crisis that befell the disciples, they responded poorly. What'd they do? Every one of them fled and hid. Every single one of them, and especially Peter. Remember, Peter, who as they were leading into Good Friday on Maundy Thursday, told Jesus, "I'm with you to the end, brother. I'm with you. I'll stand by you through thick or thin. Even to death, I'll be at your side. I will never abandon you. I will never betray you." And then within a few hours, had denied and betrayed Jesus three times. So I think we can agree that with respect to the crisis of Good Friday, the disciples did not exactly come through with flying colors. But some followers did. Some did, specifically the women who followed Jesus. You see, it was the women who stayed with Jesus as he lived through the Passion. It was the women who were there with Jesus when he died on the cross. And now on the third day, it is the women who come forward to complete the task of preparing the body for burial. And so we have this amazing separation, this stark dichotomy, don't we, of the response of the disciples on the one hand and the response of the women on the other. And here it is, the day following the Sabbath, the morning following the Sabbath, and that dichotomy still seems to be in place, where the disciples are nowhere to be found, and it is the women who come forward. Now, if you and I were coming up with this story, telling the story of it, writing the script of Easter morning. Well, the story begins, I think, pretty much as we would write it. Dawn breaks, and it is the women, the faithful women, who show up at the tomb. And so it is the faithful women who see that the stone has already been rolled away. It is the faithful women who go into and discover that the tomb is empty. It is the faithful women who see and encounter the angel. And so it is these faithful women who first hear the news that Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has been risen from the dead. Just as you and I would script it out, until suddenly it goes off script. Suddenly the script is turned on its head with the next words of the angel. You see, the angel doesn't say, "Oh, good and faithful women, you have earned this. Now you go to Galilee and Jesus will meet you there." No, the angel says, "Go get the disciples and all of you go to Galilee where Jesus will meet you." The disciples, really? Really? The ones who, when the tough got going, they were nowhere to be found. And then the angel adds something that is baffling, a bit of a head scratcher. He says, "Go get the disciples and Peter." And Peter. Why? Why add that? Peter is one of the disciples, isn't he? Why add "and Peter"? I have a very close friend, somebody who's very, very instrumental in my path to becoming a priest, who says that phrase, that two-word phrase, "and Peter," is the most influential, most important phrase in all of the Bible. Now, my friend happens to be a very accomplished priest, so it bears taking that idea into consideration. And indeed, those two words are hugely important. And they are hugely important precisely because they are unnecessary. And Peter. Peter's one of the disciples. So saying "and Peter" is superfluous. It's redundant. There's no real need for it. Why then are those two words so important? Let's linger with them for just a second. And I want to spend most of the time talking about that first word, "and." And. You see, the Greek word that is translated as "and" is "kai." Now, "kai," as it turns out, is the most frequently used word in all of the Greek lexicon. Like many Greek words, it is susceptible to more than one translation. Far and away, it is most commonly translated as "and." But there are alternatives. And if we look at this, the circumstances, the context of the utterance of "kai" in this story, one of the alternative translations fits much better. And that alternative is "even." So let's reread that passage. "Go tell the disciples, even Peter." Even Peter, the braggadocious one. Even Peter, who said he wouldn't and yet betrayed Jesus three times. Even Peter, who threw his best friend under the bus. Even Peter. Even Peter is welcomed back into the loving circle of God. Even Peter is offered forgiveness by Jesus. Even Peter. Think about the significance. Think about the message that this sends. You see, if even Peter, then even us, even you, even me. The message this sends on Easter morning is that everyone is offered God's forgiveness. Everyone is offered God's loving embrace. A problem I see with Easter is that when we think of Easter, we think of the resurrection, and then most often we stop there. And that's a mistake. Now, the resurrection is a miracle, a great miracle, but it is not the most important miracle of Easter. The resurrection is not the most important event of Easter. It's absolutely necessary, no question about that. Without the resurrection, there is no Easter. But the greatest miracle is that after the resurrection, Jesus comes back to us. Jesus comes back to those who tortured him. Jesus comes back to those who crucified him. Jesus comes back to even those like Peter who betrayed and denied him and says, "I love you. I forgive you. Come into my arms." This is why we are called a resurrection people. Because every minute of every day, we are offered the opportunity to participate in that resurrection. We are offered the opportunity to turn to God, turn to Jesus, and accept the offer of forgiveness, to accept the offer of becoming a part of that loving circle of God. Every one of us are given that offer. No one is excluded from it. Think of the magnitude of that message. This is good news, right? This is wonderful news. But, there's a but here? Yes, there's a but here. There's more. As intense, as magnificent as that news is, it is coupled with a magnificent responsibility. Notice when the angel speaks to the women and to the disciples through the women, and of course this is actually Jesus speaking, he gives an instruction. Go. Don't stay here among the dead in the tombs. Go to Galilee. Go to where there's bustling groups of people. Go where people are alive. Go to proclaim the good news there. We're being reminded here of what we talk about so often, that for Jesus, faith is an action verb. And so the message today is this. Well, before I get there, let me say this. It reminds me of the best coach that I ever had, back when I pretended to be an athlete. This coach actually kind of tried to help me. He would work with me, and as I was trying to do what he was trying to get me to do, he would say, "That's good, Randy, that's good, you're improving, but I think you can do more. I think you can do more." It's what Jesus is saying this morning to the women. You have been good and you have been faithful, excellent, but you can do more. Go. He is speaking to the disciples. You didn't do so good a few days ago, but you've been trying for a couple of years. I'm happy about that. And you can do more. Go. He is saying to every one of us, we that are unfaithful, we that are faithful, those of us, all of us who fall short, he is saying, nevertheless, you can do more. Go. And on this Easter day, armed with the message that at any moment we are given the opportunity to turn to and be embraced by and forgiven by our loving God, how could we want to do anything else less than to go outside of these walls and tell everybody we know about this wonderful good news? Happy Easter, everybody. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.